Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is Madhyalila chapter 20, verses 36 through 44. And the title of the story, the title of the story is that Sanatana Goswami, he shuns Srikanta's style. So we have to understand, what is the style of Srikanta, one devotee named Srikanta? This is after Sanatana Goswami escaped from jail. He was traveling with Ishan, his servant, and then he sent Ishan home with one golden coin, and he went traveling on by himself. Tare vidhaya diya gosai chalila ekala hatte karonya chinda kanta nirbhaya hoila. After departing from Ishan, Sanatana Goswami began traveling alone, with a water pot in his hand, simply covered with a torn quilt. He thus lost all his anxiety. Chali chali gosai tavi aila hajipur. Sandhya kale vasila eka udanya bitar. Walking and walking, Sanatana Goswami finally arrived at a place called Hajipur. That evening he sat down within a garden. Se Hajipur arahi. Srikanta Taranam Gosanira Bhagani Pati Kari Rajakam. In Hajipur, there was a gentleman named Srikant, who happened to be the husband of Sanatana Goswami's sister. He was engaged there in government service. So Sanatana Goswami came to this village and he met one of his relatives and apparently stayed there with him. Teen lakh Mudra Raja Diyacheta Raistan Ngodamulyalana Potai Patsarastan. Srikant had 300,000 gold coins with him. Not bad. Teen lakh gold coins, not pieces of paper. What is the weight? How much weight that must be? 300,000 gold coins. And each one must weigh at least 10 grams?
More than 10 grams. Silver weighs 12 grams. And then gold may be twice more than that.
20 grams, one coin.
So 5 of them will be 100 grams, 50 will be kilogram. 300,000. 300 divided 50 will be how much?
A lot.
6,000.
Kilos.
6 tons of gold.
six tons of gold. He was pretty well off. It was given to him by the emperor for the purchase of horses. The horses weren't cheap. Thus, Srikanta was buying horses and dispatching them to the emperor. Tungi uparvasi se gosanira dekila ratriyeka jana sange. When Srikant was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatana Goswami. That night, he took a servant and went to see Sanatana Goswami. Dui jana militata ishta goshtikaila bandana mokshana kata gosai sakale kahila. When they met, they had many conversations. Sanatana Goswami told him in detail about his arrest and release. Teno kahi Dina doi raha istan, madrahao chara e malina vasan. Srikant told Sanatan Gosai, you should stay here for at least 2 days and dress up like a gentleman. Abandon these dirty garments. Malvasana. Dirty clothes. They say this vas means clothing or residence. So this man, he's a wealthy man. He's a very secretary to the emperor, Muslim emperor, very trusted servant of the emperor, and now comes his relative, cousin brother, Sanatana Goswami. He's wearing a kanta, means a chinda kanta, a torn quilt, because we say, Tyaktva Turnama Shesha Mandala Pati, Shrenim Sada Tuchavat, Kopina, was it? Kanta, it says Kopina Kanta, Kantashrito. Kanta Ashrito, they covered themselves, or they took shelter of Kopina and Kanta. Hukanta means a quilt. This is a description of Six Goswami's prayer, that they're wearing very simple cloth, just some loincloth, which is called kopin, kopina, and kanta. Kanta means a quilt, like very coarse and rough blanket. But here it's saying that Sanatana Goswami didn't wear only a kanta, but a chindakanta. Chindakanta means it's torn. It was torn, ragged. And that means he had that, and then underneath he had kopin. You see some of these sadhus sometimes, they walk in kopin, or they wear, if it's cold, they wear some very coarse woolen blanket. It's called kambal or kanta. Hindi they say kambal, Bengali they say kanta, and Sanskrit is kanta. Covering his body to protect him from the cold. So he shows up like this, while his cousin, brother Srikanta was buying horses, and sitting in an elevated, he was sitting in an elevated place because he's representing the emperor. So if you love me, love my dog. So the people were respecting him very well, nicely, and he was sitting in a high place, and he was surveying all the horses from there. He said, yes, I take 10 of those, 20 of those. He was buying so many horses and dispatching him to the emperor. Then he sees why he's sitting in that elevated place purchasing horses in some stadium, whatever. In the distance, he saw his cousin brother, but he didn't get off his seat and go and greet him. And we're told in Hari Bhakti Vilas that if we may be in the altar, right next to the Singhasan of Krishna, Krishna is sitting on his elevated seat, it's called Singhasan, and we're worshipping, offering him artik, we're offering him gila or agarbati, and then some guest comes in the temple. If there's no one else in the temple to receive the guest is so special and so much revered, or so much adar, respect, regard for the guest, that the pujari should stop the artik, stop worshipping Bhagavan, come off the altar, offer an asan for the guest, have him sit on the asan, give him some water, and say, please, I'm just finishing the artik. When I complete this puja, I will take care of you nicely. This is told in Hari Bhakti Vilas. So much the guest is appreciated. Of course, in Vedic culture, when an uninvited guest, he arrives at your home, he is called atithi. It means off the time, or not expected, untimely, or surprise guest. So here, of course, it was not the home of Srikant, but he was in public buying horses. But here his own family member arrives. What to speak of a stranger arriving in a temple, how much respect and regard and behavior is shown to him in the Vaishnav Samaj. But here your own family member arrives. He arrives in the middle of this horse trading stadium, and you don't even recognize him, don't even make any notice of him. Although you notice him from a distance, you wait till nighttime. You wait till the night when you finish your business, and in a private place when no one can see you, at night, under the cover of darkness, you go and meet your relative. This is being described here. When Srikanta was sitting in an elevated place, he could see Sanatan. That night, he went to see him. Imagine you're sitting somewhere and your relative comes in, you see him, but you ignore him. Then later at night, you go find him, track him down. So obviously, this isn't a very nice way to treat a Sakhi Manjari of Radharani. Sanatan Goswami's Lavanga Manjari. There's Asta Manjaris, and he's one of the eight intimate Manjaris of Radharani, Sanatan Goswami, and one of the most confidential devotees of Lord Chaitanya. And here he's visiting his relative, and he's totally ignored and disregarded. Very offensive behavior. Then when he meets his brother, then his brother, cousin brother, Srikanta, is very friendly. Oh, please stay here for a few days. But you must dress yourself properly. What are all these dirty clothes? Malina Vasana. Of course, it wasn't dirty. It was called soiled. Prabhupada makes a distinction between dirty and soiled. You can hear on one tape where he's saying, people think when they go to India that the poor people, they're wearing dirty clothes. But actually, their clothes are not dirty, they're soiled. And Prabhupada explained what this means. That the rickshaw wala is wearing one gumsho. And he has one gumsho on his bicycle, wrapped around his bicycle. So he goes to take a bath, he washes in that, he bathes in that gumsho. Then he takes it off, and he dries himself in the dry one, and he washes the one he was wearing, puts it out in the sun. So although that gumsha may have a few oil stains here and there, some mustard oil or whatever, it's been washed in the water, usually Ganga. It's been washed in the water and dried in the sun. So the cloth is actually pure. It's actually pure now. But it looks soiled. It's not dirty. It's not mali navasana. Mal means with dirt. So it's not dirty, but it may appear soiled. So the Prabhupada made this distinction. So Sri Kanta is seeing Sanatana Goswami who's wearing the same cloth. It's soiled, but it's not dirty. But he's saying, oh, your cloth is dirty. Take it off and exchange it. You should dress up like a gentleman. So this is the whole idea of the materialists. They say that, they have a phrase in English, you eat to please yourself and you dress to please others. Right? When you go outside your house, you're very particular about how you look. Oh, people will see me. People will see me. People will judge me by how I'm dressed. Especially ladies are really particular. They spend hours in the front of the mirror making sure everything is just paka. So men are the same way. And then when you come home, what do? You take off all those clothes, you put on your gumsha and your t-shirt, and you relax. Yes, now I'm home. So you're dressed to please others, and you eat to please yourself. So here, this Sri Kanta is telling him, you should dress like a gentleman. So the materialist idea of a gentleman is someone who has very clean, so-called clean clothes, and very nicely appointed fancy clothes, shirt and pant, tie, suit, and looking very smart. He's considered to be this. He said, this is a gentleman. Sri Kanta is saying, you should get rid of these malina vasana. Get rid of these dirty clothes and dress up like a gentleman. You may be a rogue. You may be a rogue decorated with all bad qualities. Anger and lust and greed. But if you have nice clothes, everyone will say, oh, he's a good man. He's a very good man. He dresses very nicely. He's a real gentleman. See how he dresses. And then you inquire about his habits and what he does for a living. Oh, I don't know. He goes out of Bombay every weekend. I don't know where he goes. He goes somewhere and comes back on Monday. So then you make some investigation and you find out that every weekend he leaves Bombay to go somewhere to murder someone. He's a professional hit. It's called hitman for the mafia. But when he leaves Bombay airport, he looks like such a gentleman. A pucker clothes, ring, watch, everything. But he goes somewhere and he's a hired killer. He goes and kills someone in Delhi or Calcutta or France or anywhere. And even people say, oh, he's a fine gentleman. But our definition of a gentleman is something else. Samadamastapa shocham shantir ajram evacha gyanavigyanamastakyam brahma karma subhavajam. A gentleman is a brahmana. He's peaceful. He's tolerant. He's equipoised. He's self-controlled. He's fixed in religious principles. He's pure in mind and action. This is a gentleman. A gentleman is a Brahmin. So unless one becomes a Vaishnava or a devotee, he can't really be a gentleman because he'll always be disturbed. He won't be gentle. He'll be agitated. Gentle means peaceful also. So unless one is fixed on Krishna, he'll be disturbed, so he can't be gentle. His mind can't be gentle. So here you see this meeting between a materialist and a spiritualist. The materialist is Srikant, Sanatan's relative. So we also have this experience. We meet our relatives. And they say, why are you dressed like this? Why aren't you dressed like a gentleman? Why are you wearing dhoti and kurta? Why are you wearing a sari? Why don't you put on proper Western clothes? This is not nice clothes. They don't look nice. So the materialist and the spiritualist will never agree. They'll never see eye to eye. What they say is a gentleman, we say is a dacoit. You're a gentleman? See this fine gentleman? This man is a dacoit. He's a gunda. And they think that we're crazy or bugle. We're actually gentlemen and gentle ladies because we have surrendered to God and we're serving Him with all our feelings and desires, activities. So now you can understand how is Sanatan going to respond to his relative's inducement for him to change his attire. Gosai kai ekshana iha nao rahiva ganga para kari deha ekshani chaliva. Sanatana Goswami replied to the kind advice of his cousin brother to change his clothes and look like a gentleman. Please stay 2 or 4 days after changing your clothes and giving up this rough, ragged appearance. He looked like a vagabond. So what did Sanatana Goswami say? Din dui rahe raha e stane. He said, he says, ekshana ihana rahiva raha. He said, I won't stay here even for a moment. Please help me cross the Ganga. I shall leave this place immediately. So his cousin brother said, oh, it's nice to see you. Please stay here 2 or 4 days. He said, forget it. I don't want to stay with you. Such an aparadi, such an envious person, such an intolerant person, such a kripana, no liberal viewpoint, no understanding. Why should I stay? You're the opposite of a gentleman. Let me out of here. I not only want to leave this place, but I want to go to the other side of the Ganga. I don't even want to walk or sit on the same side of the Ganga that you're living. Yatna kari teno eka bhota kambala dila Ganga para kari dila gosaya chalila. With great care, Srikant gave him a woolen blanket and helped him cross the Ganga. Thus, Sanatana Goswami departed again. So this concludes the short story of Sanatan Shun's Srikanta style. He didn't like his style. His style was materialist. His style was judging people by the externals and not the internals. This is always a great mistake, to judge someone by the externals, not the internals. Because judgment depends on perception. And perception depends on experience and intelligence. And experience and intelligence doesn't come from the senses, it comes from the mind and intelligence. So if we look with our eyes and we say, oh, you look bad, you must be bad. You look bad, you're bad. You look good, you're good. This is not. You have to do a little deeper inspection. We have a phrase in English, don't judge a book by its cover. A book may have a very nice cover. And you look inside and it's all bad things. So, and someone might have a very nice cover, but you look inside and there's all bad things. And someone might have a very bad cover and look inside and it's all good things. So Sanatana Goswami, of course, he himself was an example. Here, he's being judged. Although he's perfect and good, his cousin brother thought he was bad. And another time when he met Lord Chaitanya, the same person, Sanatana Goswami, when he met Lord Chaitanya, externally, Sanatana Goswami's body was in a very bad position. It was covered with sores. He had passed through the jungle and got some kind of itching sores, some kind of skin disease, and it was all weeping pus and smelling very bad. This pus is all dead skin. So he's looking very bad externally and smelling very, very bad, like dead body. Very, very bad smell. Very bad. So then, but what did Lord Chaitanya judge him externally? Oh, you look very bad. You smell very bad. You're a bad man. And Lord Chaitanya embraced him, heart to heart. He lovingly embraced him, fully accepted him, because he understood in his heart he's totally pure. So we have to be careful also in society of devotees to judge others. As our Lord Jesus once said, judge not, lest ye be judged. So when you judge others, then you'll be judged yourself. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he used to say that the yard of judgment, or some stick used for measuring so many inches, like a tape measure or whatever. The measuring stick should always be used against ourselves. Usually we take the measuring stick and say, oh, how big are you? Oh, you're a big devotee. Oh, you're a very small devotee. Oh, you're a very, very big devotee. You're very wide also. Very wide devotee. And you're a very narrow devotee. And oh, you're a very old devotee. Oh, you're a Prabhupada disciple. Oh, very big devotee. Oh, you're not a Prabhupada disciple. Oh, very very small. This type of measuring stick. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said the measuring stick should be used only for ourselves. We should measure ourselves. How big I am? Oh, I'm very small. I'm very small on devotion. I'm also very small on surrender. And I'm also very small in attachment to Krishna. And I'm also very, very infrequently do I remember the Lord. And I'm very, very big on material desires. And I'm very, very big on laziness. And I'm very, very big on foolishness. Right? So this, we should measure, be careful to measure. Rather, we shouldn't do it at all. If we're going to measure, measure ourselves. And what's this, what, when we measure something, we want to make comparison, we should compare ourselves to the pure devotees. You say, where am I and where is Narottam Das? Where am I and where is Srila Prabhupada? Where am I and where is my Sri Guru? And then we say, oh, wow, they're so much higher than me. I have a long way to go. I should rather spend all of my energy improving myself and doing bhajan, hearing, chanting, remembering. So this ends this short story. We can read another one also. Is there any comment or question on this one?
Well, there was a class this morning in Krishna Balaram Mandir, and one point mentioned was that there are Bahirmukh Shishya and Antarmukh Shishya, like disciples who are...
Who is giving class?
Bhakta Rupa Prabhu.
Acha. Yes.
They said it was coming from Bhajana Rahasya to Bhakti Nath Thakur, or maybe some other word.
Maybe not Bhajana Rahasya, but something about Bhakti Nath.
But the point was that he mentioned two classes of this Bahirmukh Shishya, and some say there are also two classes of Antarmukh.
Huh.
But nobody knew any details were there.
Acha.
Right, it's maybe some connection with the story that these Bahirmukh Shishya, they are looking for externals, like.
Yes.
Either to be praised by Guru or to themselves become Gurus. So it would be interesting to hear something more about this Antarmukh, which is the goal actually to become.
Yeah, I can't really comment on that. I haven't studied these terms. Yes.
That we should not measure others. But from other side, then it should be said that we must use our discrimination. Maybe we should not measure them from outside appearance, because, I mean, that someone speaking something like Prabhupada said, you can know who is who or not according to his words, or his behavior, or many other things. So maybe you can...
You know, measuring in terms of, in other words, basic action. A devotee is so absorbed himself in his own bhajan and worshipping the Lord and trying to execute the order of the spiritual master that he doesn't really have time, and he shouldn't waste his time trying to see, pass judgment, you know, passing judgment by measuring someone else and saying, oh, he's big, he's small. And talking about others. Because the devotee is always supposed to be talking about Krishna. And always talking about Lord Chaitanya and the pastimes, Nam Rup Gun Leela. Talking about his service. And what other devotees are doing. If they're doing something nice, maybe you can glorify them. Speak something if they're actually doing something significant. And the only time this concept of judgment is really employed is when we're deciding who to associate with. We're going to associate. Then we have to exercise, as you said, some discrimination, which is a function of intelligence, that we choose to associate with those that are more advanced with us, to hear from them and learn from them, and make friends with those that are on a similar platform. And those that are lower than us, then or less than, you know, more less fortunate than we are, we try to make them fortunate by preaching. So there we have a three-tiered, not exactly judgment, but a three-tiered discrimination, reaching for the higher association, extending ourselves to the those lower than us, and on the same plane associating with our friends. So that requires some selection. We must make selection, but in one sense, we, in the terms of amanina, in terms of the humility of a devotee at the level of nishta, a devotee at the level of nishta is Trinadapi Sunichena. He is amani. He doesn't want any respect for himself, but he's manada. He gives respect to others. So he's always respecting everyone. And not that, oh, he's big, he's small. He's not belittling anyone. Right? Because he sees that everyone is doing the best they can. Everyone is trying their best. Everyone is engaged. Krishna says in Gita, everyone is following my path in all respects. Was it Prakriti? I forget this one verse. I can't remember now. He says, everyone is following my path in all respects. So the devotee tries to see the same way as Krishna, that, okay, I have this tolerance. There's no need for me to judge. It's not anukul for bhakti. It's not favorable for bhakti for me to spend time judging high or low, big or small. I do my service. I absorb myself, my bhajan. And then when I have to make selection, I make selection in these three ways. Search for those that are more advanced than I am, that can increase my faith, increase my determination, increase my surrender. And then make friends with those that are not only on a similar level. What does it mean, similar level? We make friends with those that are interested in the same things we're interested in terms of Krishna consciousness. For example, we may see some devotees we think are on the same level as us, but they may be interested in doing Govardhan Prakram every day. That's their interest in bhakti. They like to do. And so they may be the same age, and maybe initiated by the same guru around the same time, and they're really into this Govardhan Prakram every day, and maybe that's their service. And we're not so much interested in that. We'd rather learn shlokas or read shastra. So we should find someone that likes to learn shlokas and read shastras. That's what it means by associating with those that are like-minded and similar. Not only that the same jati, sajati snigda, associate with those that are in the same, that are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and that we can share our ideas together and make friends. But we make friends in terms of how we can serve together and help each other. And if someone's totally in memorizing shlokas every second and we can't remember that very well, then that won't be very good association for us because we'll be lost. We won't feel encouragement. We'll feel discouraged. So that's the friendships. And of course, preaching is obvious. Those that are unfortunate, lacking Krishna consciousness or trying to come up, then we can try to compassionately help them. But otherwise, that's a selection based on Krishna consciousness, right? It's discrimination, selection, but otherwise it's judging high, low, this, that, he's big sannyas, he's Russian devotee, he's Indian devotee. This type of duality is not beneficial. Because it usually ends up offensive. Because how can you really see who's big or small? It's very difficult. Because we usually use all kinds of artificial criterion to decide who's big or small. Do you know he's GBC? He's BBT? He's very big devotee. This is if you have these service posts, that means you're big devotee. Not necessarily. Maybe some devotees working in the temple, cooking the milk sweets, he may be a much more advanced devotee. So it's not position that makes elevation in bhakti. It's attachment and love for Krishna. So sometimes we get involved like that. Oh, he's big devotee because he has all these titles. Oh, he's small devotee. He's only making milk sweets for the deities. But he may be, sleeping 1 hour, 2 hours a day and absorbed in Krishna Katha day and night. I remember some devotees on New Vrindavan. They had memorized the entire Chaitanya Bhagavat, entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, and all day long they would just speak from the book, day and night. Sleep 4 hours a day. And they were so-called nobody. In the community, everyone really appreciated their association because they always heard about Lord Chaitanya. Whenever they spoke, it was nothing but Chaitanya. Now the person's a famous sannyasi. No comment. Any other questions? So the next story we'd like to hear from Krishna's Kaviraj as he's trying to teach us about pure bhakti. This is from Madhyalila chapter 16. This is Mahaprabhu instructs the Kulina Vasis. So in this chapter, Lord Chaitanya is also teaching. He gave so many teachings throughout these books, Chaitanya Bhagavat, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sometimes we think that Lord Chaitanya only gave the Shikshastakam. Shiksha means teachings. Shiksha. 8 verses of teaching. But actually he gave so many teachings. We compiled an entire book, 500-page book with the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's called Gauranga Gita. And it's all the direct words of Lord Chaitanya on so many subject matters. So here, this is very nice instructions that he's giving the Kulinavasis. This is Madhyalila chapter 16, verse 69 through 75. See, every year, the devotees from Navadvip, they would come to Jagannath Puri for the Chaturmasya observance. And they would observe Snan Yatra of Jagannath and Rath Yatra of Jagannath and Guru Purnima and many, many sacred holidays, especially Kartik Vrata. They would all observe in Jagannath Puri in the direct personal association of Lord Chaitanya. And every year afterwards, the devotees would come from Kulina Gram and Shikalna, Ambikalna, Mayapur, and Shantipur, and all the areas of Navadvip Mandal. So this verse is picking up as they were leaving. Every year they would leave, and Lord Chaitanya would say goodbye to everyone. It was a very emotional, love-filled scene of leaving the Lord after 4 months, a union with the Lord, and so much wonderful association. Kulina grami purvavat kaila nivedan prabhu agyaka ramar kartavya sadan. As in the previous year, one of the residents of Kulina gram submitted a petition to the Lord. Prabhu agyakara, my Lord, kindly tell me what is my duty and how I should execute it. He says, amara kartavya sadan. So he's asking, what should I do? Sometimes when disciples meet their guru, or they meet some saintly person, if someone visits a saintly person, he'll ask that saintly person, listen, Maharaj or whoever the person is, they'll say, listen, we've talked for some time. Now, can you please give me some advice? Just whatever comes to your mind. You look at me and you think about me and what you've experienced and what you've felt from being with me for a short time. And please give me any advice that whatever Krishna wants to tell you, please give me some advice to improve my bhajan. And the person looks at you. And then they say, actually, you should stop eating sweets. Or whatever. They can say anything. Whatever they want to say, it's something the super soul will inspire them because the original guru is in the heart, Chaitya Guru. So they may, when you set yourself up like that, it's kind of like you're setting yourself up. You may get slapped right between the eyes, you know, but we've done this, and because it's very rare to have the association of a very advanced devotee of the Lord, and it may be difficult to even find them. You have to go here and there and track them down and locate where they hide out. And you finally meet them, so it's a great fortune to even meet such advanced devotees. And then if they can answer some questions or you speak to them, or maybe they don't have time, and you ask them, please, can you give me some instruction to help my sadhan? And oftentimes they give some very, very extraordinary teachings and statements that it seems as if, how does he know all this about me? Or how did he figure this out? Or how does he know that this is exactly the thing that I should receive? So this is a nice practice we could try to employ when we meet some sannyasis or any advanced Vaishnavas. Or Vaishnavi. And it's because what happens when you present yourself like that before a devotee, because a devotee represents the Lord. The devotee is known as Kripa Shakti Murti. He is a form of the mercy of God. So meeting with a devotee is the same as meeting with Krishna. The more advanced devotee he is, the more transparent he is, the more that Krishna reveals and speaks through him. Even it's told in Veda that the ordinary Brahman, who's actually following Brahminical, the sadkarmas of a Brahman, and he's decorated with Brahman Lakshana, the qualities of a Brahman, it's told that the Lord Vishnu speaks, he speaks and he eats through the mouth of a Brahman. Generally, people only hear the second part, that Lord Vishnu eats through the mouth of the Brahmins. So the Brahmins are very keen and very interested in eating on behalf of the Lord. But they're not only supposed to eat on behalf of the Lord, but they're supposed to speak on behalf of the Lord. And the Lord himself declares, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. That the Go, the cow and the Brahman, Hitaya, they live in this world for the benefit of others. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Namo Brahmanya Devaya. This is Hitaya Cha. Hita means benefit. So they live for the benefit of others, and they are to be worshipped like Krishna. He's there. He's living in the heart of the Brahman. And of course, Vishnu is living in the heart of the cow, along with the other demigods. So when the ordinary Brahman speaks, and it's considered in Vedic culture, in original Vedic culture, if you have some difficulty, you have some Brahman, some difficulty or some problem, then you meet with the local Brahman in the temple. You say, listen, I'm having this difficulty. Can you speak something to comfort me, or to guide me, or advise me? And he will think, oh, let me think. Yes, and he'll speak something. It's called Satyavacham. Satyavacham means words of truth. Truthful words. And the Brahman has that power if he's actually following the Brahminical standard. But nowadays, the Brahminical standard is kaput. German word is kaput. It means it's kaputsky. It's finished. It's karav. It's khatam hogya. Because they're supposed to be clean inside and out. And they're drinking and they're smoking. And they're eating onions and garlic, chicken and goat and whiskey and Johnny Walker and Kingfisher and this and that. And watching blue movies and doing any damn thing. And some Puranas are telling, Bhakti Siddhanta quotes in, or rather maybe Bhakti Vinod Thakur quotes in Krishna Samhita, that in the age of Kali, the Rakshasas take birth in Brahmin families. So certainly that's not true in all Brahmin families. My friend here is a Brahmin, Prakashji. There are many, of course, these are the exceptions. I don't know if it's the exception that the Rakshasas don't take birth, or if it's exception that Rakshasas do take birth. Maybe it's exception, hopefully it's exception that they do take birth, and the rest, most of the Brahmins are good and a few are bad. But as Kali Yuga goes on, it would be more like the other way around. It'll be the exception, it'll be a good Brahmin. So therefore, when these Brahmins speak, they don't speak the truth, they speak with forked tongues. forked tongue means like a snake, two tongues. So, this is what's going on here with the Kulinavasis. They met with Lord Chaitanya and they said, look, we're leaving you for now. We won't come back for so many months until next Chaturmasya, next year. So can you please advise us? Agya. Agya means Guru Agya. It says Prabhu Agya. It says Prabhu Agyakara. Agyakara means can you do or give us an order? Guru Agya means order of the Guru. So they see Lord Chaitanya as Guru and as their friend, and they have some idea that he's God also. So now, how does the Guru reply? What is the Satyavacham? What are the truthful words of the Brahman? Because on one level, Lord Chaitanya is also a Brahman, because he's Jagannath Mishra's son, Nimai Mishra. But on another level, he's Parabrahman. He's the Supreme Brahman. He's God himself. So he says, this Kalinavasi, obviously he's Grihastha, and he's asking, so Mahaprabhu says, Prabhukai Vaishnav Seva Nam Sankirtan, Duikara Shigra Pabe Sri Krishna Charan. The Lord replied, you should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. There's elections going on. And because this is Vrindavan and this is Radhakund, this is specifically Radharani's place, there are 8 people running for election. The position is called chairman of this Tanchiat. And the 8 people running for election are all ladies.
For this place?
Yes, this is Radhakund. This is the village of Radhakund. And they're running for chairman of Radhakund. The last chairman was a man. But this is Radhakund. This is Radharani's place. So there's eight different people with 8 different parties running. And they're all ladies. There's no men running. They gave up. And every lady's coming to the door, because I'm also an Indian citizen. They're all knocking on the door and giving some paper for me to fill out to vote for their party. So my chokidar meets them at each one. They all want me to vote. And 8 ladies. What does that mean? The Astasakis. The Astasakis are running for office. They're running for chairman. I guess I'll have to change the post from chairman to chairwoman or chair gopi. Chair Gopi, Gopi Chair, Gopi Chair, chair Gopi. Radhakund. The men gave up because this is a ladies' place. Vrindavan is run by ladies, you know, this is Vrindavaneshwari. So Lord Chaitanya is giving very good instruction. Oh, you want my order? Do you want to hear something? Listen. You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Duikara Shigra Pabe Shri Krishna Charan. Shigra. Shigra means very soon. Duikara. You only do these two things. Serve the servants of the servants of the Vaishnavas and always chant Nam Sankirtan. And you'll get Shri Krishna Pabe, Shri Krishna Charan. You will, Pabe, attain the lotus feet of Krishna. Often devotees ask us, oh, I'm going back to Bombay. Can you give me some instruction? What should I do? So generally say, oh, you should engage in Krishna's service and chant Hare Krishna. Right? And read the Bhagavatam. This is what I personally tell people. But Lord Chaitanya is saying, don't engage in Krishna's service. Krishna himself, Radha and Krishna are saying, don't engage in Krishna's service. What does he say? Vaishnav Seva, Nam Sankirtan. He doesn't say Krishna Seva. Doesn't say Radha Seva. Doesn't say Thakurji Seva, Didi Seva. It says Vaishnav Seva Nam Sankirtan. Babe, Shigra, Sri Krishna Charan. Very soon, very quickly. So, from now on, anybody ask me? What? Serve the Vaishnavas, chant Hare Krishna. Babe, Sri Krishna Charan. Very soon you'll attain Krishna's feet. And that's our goal, to attain the service of Krishna's feet eternally. Tenho kai ke Vaishnav ki tanra lakshan tabi hasi kai Prabhu jani tanraman. So alright, the Kulinavasi says, Tige, Mahaprabhu, I accept your instruction, Sir Vaishnav Seva. Now my next question is, who is a Vaishnava? Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are. Understanding his mind, Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. Tabe hasikai Prabhu Jani Tanraman. Krishna nama nirantara janhara vadan se Vaishnava shreshta bhajatanhara charan. So this is the person, this is the Vaishnava you should serve. A Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava? What is the definition of a Vaishnava? A Vaishnava is a person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord. He is considered to be a first-class Vaishnava. And your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Vaishnava Shreshta. Bhajatanhara Charan. You should do bhajan or worship of the lotus of the feet of this Vaishnava, this great Vaishnava. So you might think, well, who is that? I don't know anybody like that. Where do I find a Vaishnava? It says Krishna Nam Nirantara. Antya means end. Antilila, end. So Antara means end. Nirantara means no end. Krishna Nam Nirantara means there's no end to his chanting of the holy name. He's always chanting. Well, who's that? I guess I don't have to worry about that then, because he said Vaishnava Seva. I serve Vaishnavas and I chant Hare Krishna, I'll attain Krishna's feet, so I might as well forget about attaining Krishna's feet. Because I can chant Hare Krishna, but I can't find any Vaishnava like that to serve. That must be the topmost first-class Vaishnava. Bhakti Sinanta says in his purport that a Vaishnava who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord, he should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. What is the second platform? It's called Madhyam Adhikar. Where does Madhyam Adhikari begin? Madhyam Adhikari begins in Nishta. What is Nishta? Nishta means Trinadapi, Sunichena, Tororiva Sahishna, Amanina, Manidena, Kirtaniya, Sadahari. What does Sadahari mean? Means Nirantara. Sada means Sat, means eternal, no end. So one who comes to the level of Nishta, he's very humble, intolerant, and he's free from pride. He's prideless and always shows honor and regard and love for others. And he's always chanting Krishna's name. He's Madhyam. Second class. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte simply tries to chant the holy name, where an advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called a Madhyam Bhagavat, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the middle stage, intermediate stage, becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyam Bhagavat, who is a Vidyam medium. Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita 5, Pranatibhischa bhajantam isham. This means that a Madhyamadikari devotee should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara means without cessation, continuously, constantly. Antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, which means sometimes we do bhakti and sometimes we do bhog, bhakti and bhog. Sometimes we strive for devotional service, and other times we strive, or it means we work for or engage in sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Rupa Goswami says, Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadhyaravritam anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhaktiruttama. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. This is first class devotion. He really comments on this word nirantara, which is used all these stories we've been reading throughout the last 2 weeks. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, so often the word nirantara comes up in the teachings, Lord Chaitanya or other devotees, nirantara, chant without cessation. So here there's a very elaborate description of this word nirantara. Another meaning of the word antara means this body. Body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, the word antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata. Antara means quite a lot. Janata means people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, the word antara may mean greed. That's quite a lot of meanings. Greed to acquire more money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas, by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. So this is quite a long purport, actually. Rati prema taratmye bhakta taratama. This is Madhya Lila 2271. Attraction, rati, and love for God, prema, are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love distinguish the different stages of devotion, neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting, he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master. It's interesting. If we chant the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, We can understand our position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Very beautiful sentence. Generally, we think of chanting the holy name or attachment in chanting will lead us to the understanding that we're eternal servants of Krishna. Jivera Surupaya Krishnera Nityadas. But here it's saying Vaishnavera Nityadas. Guru Nityadas. That I am, if I chant with great attachment, then I will realize that I am my Guru's eternal servant. And I will realize that the Vaishnavas are my eternal masters, and that I am eternal servant of all the Vaishnavas. This chanting will bring this mood, this idea, this conception. But now we think, we chant Hare Krishna, and we think that we're the eternal Lord of all the Vaishnavas. All the Vaishnavas should serve me. I am their Lord. And Prabhupada mentions this on one tape. He said, the word Prabhu doesn't mean, oh Prabhu, please carry my shoes. We say Prabhu. We say, oh Prabhu, please carry my shoes. Prabhu means you're my master. Oh Prabhu, oh Prabhu, let me carry your shoes. We say, oh Prabhu, can you carry my shoes? We're saying, oh Prabhu, then we're engaging him in our service. You should say, oh slave, please carry my shoes. It's called a dichotomy, it's called a contrast. You say, Prabhu, oh master, please become my slave. It's like opposite. The word is one thing and the action is opposite. Very nice. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent devotees, or rather neophytes, and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. That's a very interesting sentence. There's a lot between the lines there. Prabhupada said, when one is on the platform of Nishta, where he's Madhyam Adhikari, Kari, of course that includes also Ruchi, is Madhyam, but he has the ability to identify who is a non-devotee and who is a motivated devotee. Motivated means he has material desires mixed in with his bhakti. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform, and they are called prakrita. This term is there. It's called Vaishnava Praya. Vaishnava Praya means almost a Vaishnava, but their bhakti is too much avritam. It's covered by jnana and karma. Jnana karma adhyar avritam. There's too much avritam, means covering. And they're what they call anyabhi lashita purnam. Anyabhi lashita purnam means they're full, purnam, full of other abhilash. And Rupa Goswami tells in Nectar Devotion, we are supposed to be anyabhi lashita shunyam. Shunyam means devoid of, empty, free of other desires. Anya abhilash, other desires. But the prakriti is called prakrita bhakta. Prakriti or prakriti means material energy. So prakriti bhakta means that he's a devotee, but he's more interested in bhog than bhakti. He's more interested in enjoyment than serving. So he has big body, baroghari, very, very big car. And always, when he gets a car, has a very super big car, a special car, and special clothes and special watch and everything. Best computer, $50,000 computer, whatever. You know, whatever you don't need such, but you want to have all, so many things you have to have. It's like prakriti bhakta. Too much excess because of desire for enjoyment and not really service mood. So there's a term. There's actually a term that's mentioned many places in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The term is used prakriti bhakta, Vaishnapraya. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. It's saying that the Madhyam Adhikari, the intermediate devotee, the devotee to the level of Nishta, he doesn't mix with Vaishnava Praya and Prakriti Bhaktas. He doesn't want to mix with them. Because they're not really devotees. They're too much in the enjoying mood. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. So ultimately everything is going on by the will of the Lord. This is a conclusion. This is a second story for today. that oh, there's two more verses. Varshantare punatana aiche prashna kaila Vaishnavera tara tamya prabhushi kaila. The following year, year after that, the inhabitants of Kalina Gram again asked the Lord the same question. Hearing this question, Mahaprabhu again taught them about the different types of Vaishnavas. Janhara darshane muke, I say Krishnanam, tanhare jani amtumi Vaishnava pardan. Mahaprabhu said, a first class Vaishnava is he whose presence makes others chant the holy name of Krishna. In this way, Mahaprabhu taught the distinctions between different types of Vaishnavas. The Vaishnava, the Vaishnavatara, and the Vaishnavatama. He thus successively explained all the symptoms of Vaishnava to the inhabitants of Kalina Gram. So this is the teachings of Lord Chaitanya instructing the Kalina Vasis. So he's saying that the Madhyamadikari, he's also first class, and we should serve him. Then he's saying the Uttamadikari are very first class devotee. He's saying that he's just seeing him. Other people chant the holy name. So obviously we should definitely serve him also. There's a very long purport about this. This talks about the Mahabhagavat, the topmost devotee. Such a topmost devotee is always aware of his Krishna conscious duty, and he's enlightened in self-realization. He is always in love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, and his love is without adulteration. Because of this love, he is always awake to transcendental realization. Because he knows that Krishna consciousness is the basis of knowledge and action, he sees everything as being connected with Krishna. Such a person is able to chant the holy name of Krishna perfectly. Such a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava has the transcendental eyes to see who is sleeping under the spell of Maya, and he engages himself in awakening the sleeping conditioned souls by spreading knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. That's such beautiful sentences here in these purports that I can't really remember reading, although we read many times. The Mahabhagavat, or the pure devotee, he opens eyes that are closed by forgetfulness of Krishna. Thus the living entity is liberated from the dullness of material energy and is engaged fully in the service of the Lord. The Madhyam Adhikari can awaken others to Krishna consciousness and engage them in duties whereby they can advance. So it's all about a Mahabhagavat, how he descends from the topmost platform to the second platform to preach. It's a very beautiful purport to read if one has a chance. From Madhya Leela, chapter 16, verse 74 in the purport. Because by reading this, because our goal also is to become pure devotees. So when we read about what are the characteristics of a pure devotee, what are the qualities of a pure devotee, and what are the actions of a pure devotee, that creates some inspiration in our heart, if we're sincere, that yes, I also want to come like this. I want to become such a devotee, to have these qualities and engage in these services to the Lord. It's very, very inspiring to hear about the Lord himself and also his devotees. A first-class Vaishnava, he can deliver the whole world and turn everyone to Krishna consciousness. With great love and affection, he observes Krishna, the devotional service and the devotee. He observes nothing beyond Krishna, Krishna consciousness, and Krishna's devotees. The Mahabhagavat knows that everyone is engaged in Lord's service in different ways. He therefore descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. So in the Mahabhagavat, he sees everyone's engaged in different ways in Krishna's service. Some people are serving Krishna in the mode of ignorance. Some people are serving Krishna in the mode of passion and goodness. Some people are actually rendering devotional service. But everyone's engaged in service. But a handful are engaged in devotional service. So he comes down from the topmost platform to the second Madhyam platform, where they have fourfold discrimination. And then he says he descends to the middle platform to elevate everyone to the Krishna conscious position. So instead of just serving Tamagun and Rajagun and Sattvagun, he can serve the Supreme Brahman or serve Krishna directly and attain perfection of human life.